Alison Bancroft, and I was born on the 19th of the 10th, 1961. We always had music around. My mum and dad had a like one of those gramophone player things, and my dad used to play lots of LPs. I first heard bands like the Sex Pistols, Stranglers, and a few friends brought newspaper clippings into school, stuff about the Sex Pistols and a band called Eater, things like that. And then I heard about the Stranglers playing at Bletchley Leisure Centre. And I can't remember the exact date. I seem to think it was March 1977, but there's a few dates bandied about on the internet, so I can't tell you exactly. So I decided to get tickets. And when we was waiting to get in, there was loads of punks all lined up along the Snake. And if you lived in Bletchley and you know about the Leisure Centre, you know what the Snake is. It was great, you know, like these were London punks. And they had like Mohicans and were wearing real, what I would call, punk clothes. And there was loads of them. Never seen so many punks in my life. It was great. So I went in to the gig and I was stood next to the bass speaker and that was it. I was smitten. I loved the Stranglers. And that was it. I was kind of into punk music. That was it. So from where I lived in Manor Road, it was a short walk into Bletchley to record shop FL Moore's. We used to mostly listen to music, didn't have much money really. So they had like a little booth thing and you could ask them to put records on for them to play. That was quite good. The place that I could afford records from was Finley's, which was next to Woolworths, and it was like a little tobacconist shop. And you could get singles that I think they didn't sell, so they used to sell for like 20p. That was quite good. So around this time, I was kind of like starting to wear safety pins in my clothes and cut my hair short. I didn't really have many so-called punk clothes because they weren't available in Bletchley anyway, so I got into making my own. I had some bright green velvet, so I made myself a t-shirt with some zips in it. I think I got them out of an old jacket or something. And my dad worked for the council and used to get issued fluorescent trousers, what I suppose nowadays would be called high-vis. So when he got some new stuff issued, I nicked a pair of his bright orange trousers. So basically I put some zips in them and painted some stuff on them and stuff. And he hated me having them and said that if he found them in my room, he'd get rid of them. And I came home one day and there was a fire at the bottom of the garden and he'd burnt them. So that was that. My dad wasn't really into any of the punk stuff. But my mum was fine with it. She was really supportive of what I wore or how I had my hair, you know. She was good. So early days, I met Glenn O'Halloran, another Bletchley guy. He was really kind to me and put up with me hanging about with him. He was in a band called The Fix. He later gave me a bloke's white shirt, painted the name of the band on it, The Fix, and added, I think, like a bondage strap and some other painting and stuff. And this was like early days for me. So at the time, my hair was hennaed red. I don't think I bleached it till, you know, quite a bit later on, really. And me and my boyfriend at the time, we used to hang around at Fun City. And it was a small shed. It was like brick built building on Duncombe Street. I think originally it used to be like a garage forecourt thing. And it was full of one-arm bandits and pinball machines and stuff. And they sold like drinks and like tea stuff and snacks like sandwiches, and it was run by a woman called Jill, and she was really kind to us because we didn't ever have any money. We used to help out cleaning and making sandwiches and stuff for customers, and she used to give me cups of tea and butties or beans on toast or something. So it was worth hanging around because it was warm and we used to meet lots of people in there, so that was pretty good. And they had a jukebox, but we were allowed to play any records we wanted. So I seem to remember X-Ray Specs, O Bondage Up Yours. I just bought that on blue vinyl, actually. And Uptown Top Ranking, pretty much on repeat. I really like those two songs. When I was 16, my parents moved us to a tiny village. It was just outside Brighton. I was devastated, of course, because I was used to like quick walk into town, kind of out of the way of anything really. It was a 5-minute walk into town from, you know, from where I'd been, like all my friends and everything, to be in 2 miles from the nearest bus stop. And there was only 2 buses a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. And it was absolute crap. The first night I got there though, got the bus into Brighton and the Stranglers were playing. That was an excellent gig. We only lived there for about 6 months, and there were loads of bands that played in Brighton, but I didn't see many of them. because there was no way of getting there and back because of the buses, and I didn't really have any money anyway. And it was about 10 miles from Brighton, so it wasn't like you could just get a quick taxi or whatever. I worked there for a few months in a light bulb factory in Hurstpier Point, but that was a walk through woodland and over fields, so that wasn't the best really. Then my parents moved to another tiny village in Hampshire. Again, a long walk to the nearest bus stop, and the only work available was local farm work. After about 6 months of this, I got fed up, and my mum could see that I was getting really down. You know, I was used to having loads of friends around and having my boyfriend around, so she talked my dad into letting me move back to Milton Keynes. I told them that my friend had a flat and I'd be staying there to make them think that I would be okay and settled, but that wasn't the case. So I basically stayed at lots of different friends' houses for a while. And then I moved in with my friend Shona. Shona, who's still my bestie to this day. Big love to Shona. Love that girl. So moving back to Milton Keynes was great for me. All my friends around again. That was great. Could get out and about, go to gigs, you know, all that kind of thing. And around that time, I started bleaching my hair. And the quest was to get it as white as possible. I loved having it as white as I could. Crazy Colour was available in London, but I didn't have the money to get to London or buy Crazy Colour. So I used food colouring. It was fine until it rained. So I'd carry a brolly with me, or I'd end up with food colouring running down my face. Then, I suppose, a little while after that, shortly after that, me and the friends would get a train to London. People would pay you to take photographs, so that way you could get money to buy Crazy Colour and have money to go to a gig and things like that. And although I did have my hair lots of different colours, my favourite Crazy Colour was Pinkissimo. And really, that was the one that I bought the most. I loved that colour. At this time, I was still making my own clothes, and I would sometimes swap something I'd made for a T-shirt or something from Seditionaries. I only went to Seditionaries a couple of times. I know that lots of my friends went, but I wasn't really much into Seditionaries clothing. It wasn't really my thing. I sort of preferred my homemade stuff still. I had a kilt as well that I used to wear. I loved my kilt. When we got our flat in West Bletchley, not too far around the corner, there was a youth centre called Derwent Drive. And the youth worker there was Paul Davies. He was a great guy. Really liked him a lot. He put me forward to do my youth work training. I used to go to weekends at Aston Clinton and do courses to become qualified youth worker, which I did. And a few years later, I went on to do quite a lot of youth work. There was also June, who worked with Paul. Sadly, she passed away recently. Paul and June, they were fantastic with us lot. Really encouraging, helping us to put on gigs, helping us to have practices there. And they used to store our equipment under the stage there. And in fact, our equipment got nicked from under the stage one time. And so, yeah, that was another sort of time in my life where other people were kind of being good to us, really. After a while, I met Mark Jevons at Criminal Records in CMK. I used to help out there occasionally. Mark came in to have a look around and we got chatting. Mark and I became really good mates and hung around together loads. We would like go into the city centre during the night because they didn't have doors or anything on at the time. And we'd kind of like just mooch about. He introduced me to Pear Tree Bridge Youth Club. I made lots of friends. There was so much stuff going on there. Loads of people hanging about, loads of bands getting together. It was really good. And Dick Emmons, the youth worker, he was good to me and Mark. If we were just kicking around and didn't really have a lot to do, he would let us stay in the youth club overnight. They had a pinball machine. It was great. We'd just play pinball. They also had a Space Invaders machine. And I don't know who discovered it, but if you flicked the switch on the socket where it was plugged in, it would give you hundreds of free games. And so basically, we used to do that all the time. And that was where I met Dave Bancroft. Dave and I had met and were married within a couple of weeks of meeting. Dave was living with his dad in Wolverton and his dad was in Canada. So I moved in with Dave there. We wanted a flat, but the council wouldn't even talk to us about it unless we were married. So we just thought, okay, let's get married then. So that's what we did. We kept sort of like ringing them up, asking when we would get this flat now that we'd got married. And within 9 weeks, we'd got a flat in West Bletchley. And it was great. And most people used to come to us and hang around for the evening and chat, play records, whatever, because a lot of them still lived at home with their parents. Yeah, the wedding itself was good fun. They told us when we went to book it that we would only be allowed 17 people in the room. We didn't think anything of it. We didn't think there'd be that many people there. I wore an army flying suit and I'd put loads of like bondage straps and things onto it, sewed them on. And I dyed Dave's hair leopard skin. Quite liked it. When we got to the registry office in Fenny Stratford, there was one guy saying, no, no more people, no more people, nobody else allowed in. And the other guy was like, yeah, come on, we can fit loads of people in. So basically it was packed out. There was standing room only. And we all had a bit of a laugh when they said Dave Bancroft's middle name. A guy who I'd met on my hen night, I didn't know he worked for the Daily Mirror, but he'd asked if he could come along and take photographs. And I said, yeah, sure. And the next thing I know, the photos of the wedding appeared in the Daily Mirror. It was Dick Emmons, the youth leader of Pear Tree Bridge at the time, that suggested get a band together. But actually it was Mark and Andy Aff, and then I was kind of in on it as well. So there was, you know, I couldn't sing or anything, but there was me on vocals, Mark on bass, Andy Afanasio on guitar. And then obviously when I met Dave, he joined on guitar as well. And then Dave Paul, he joined as well. I know we had a few different drummers before Sean came along. I think Mark Franks sort of stood in for us for a little bit because we didn't have a drummer. And then Conrad did for a little bit. And then Sean came along. Fantastic drummer, really, really good. And we became Ethnic Minority. We really did have a laugh. We were just like, I suppose, a fun band, really jokey, missing about. And then once Sean had joined us, he was much more serious. He wrote pretty much all of the lyrics, which were excellent. Yeah, so we kind of like had moved on a little bit from the fun times, really. We did a couple of demo tapes and had a couple of tracks on the Warped Sense of Human LP, which was recorded at Pear Tree Bridge with money that had been donated from the band The Police. Set up like a recording studio and stuff. So we had a couple of tracks on that album. One of our favourite tracks, War Song, we would have liked to have put on Warped Sense of Human, but we'd already said it could go on a different album that Bill Billings was putting together. That didn't happen. And then, you know, after a bit of time, we'd kind of like done loads of gigs and, you know, we had quite a decent local following. But I think we were kind of like looking for other things, really. I think Sean, quite rightly so, wanted to sing his own songs. And so him and Mark and Dave Paul went on to form Fuck Authority, and then later on Exit Stance. They went on to do a few records and stuff and were well liked. But I think personally, musically, one of the biggest impacts on me as far as music went was Crass, Poison Girls, Flux of Pink Indians. They were kind of like my favourite, really. It sounds cliched, but I became a vegetarian because of listening to Flux. Still a vegetarian now. Went to loads of gigs to see Crass, Flux, Poison Girls. One of the Crass gigs that I really liked was Harpole near Northampton. That was a great gig, that was. One of their gigs I went to in Luton, it was like a corrugated hut in Luton. I think it might have been on Marsh Farm, not entirely sure. The floor was deep in water. The power kept going off and the sound was pretty abysmal. A whole load of Luton skinheads came in. I think they were Luton skinheads anyway, and basically wanted trouble. And I said to all my mates, look, you know, I'm getting the feeling that something's going to kick off here. I think it's time to leave. And I'm glad we did, as I heard reports sort of kind of like later on that there was quite a lot of violence. I mean, basically, I'm not sure if it was because I was a girl or not, but I never really had any trouble with violence towards me. Because Bletchley was pretty small, I got on well with the punks, skins and other types that used to hang around. It was, you know, we all kind of knew each other, really. I know that other people did get trouble with the local skins and stuff, but not me. I didn't really get any trouble at all. After that, I was in another couple of bands, one with Chimp and I singing and his brother Simon on guitar. Simon was a really good friend of mine, really lovely man, and sadly no longer with us. But that was kind of like my band career over, really. I didn't really want to be in another band at all. I suppose apart from I sung a couple of songs with Jumblehead when they played at Madcap in Wolverton. Pretty good fun. But I always had bad anxiety. And before gigs, I would get really anxious, get bad stage fright and sometimes even throw up. So I was just like, yeah, I'm done with that. Still living in our flat in Bletchley, still going to gigs. And around this time, I was pregnant with my first baby, Fern. And after she was born, because the flat had got loads of mould in the second bedroom, we went to the council and said, look, you know, this isn't appropriate for our baby to be in this room. So they gave us a house in Conybrough. And the house was great, three-bedroom house, really big. It was close to the city centre, so you didn't have to get buses and things to the city centre. But sadly, it was then that we kind of lost our close connection to all of our Bletchley mates. You know, looking back, I think that was a mistake. We should have really waited and got a place in Bletchley, really. We was in Conybrough for about a year, when in 1984 we moved to Rainbow Housing Cooperative in New Bradwell. I had my second baby, Jay, in 1985. And it was around this time, I think Jay was, I don't know, 3 or 4 months old, that Dave and I split pretty amicably. We shared parenting and stayed friends. We still had lots of friends visiting, going to gigs, etc., which was all very useful, helped by co-parenting and having an excellent, excellent babysitter, Yvonne Cronin. She was marvellous. She loved my kids. And if anybody who's had kids and had babysitters knows, you look after your babysitter. If you want to keep your freedom, you look after your babysitter. You pay them well, buy them lots of snacks and treats while they're babysitting. You get to still go out and have a nice time. Then I had a friend, Steph, staying with me, who had moved down from Glasgow and had nowhere to stay. So he'd sleep on the sofa, and then he was staying in a caravan that was at the back of Spencer Street. And one time, his mate Will came to visit, and I'd remembered him because he was Cassie's brother. And then soon after that, Will and I got together. Will was a skateboarder, which brought a whole different side of music and events into our lives, I suppose. We bought a 3.5-ton truck that was a Sunblessed truck, and Will did it out. He put beds in for us and the kids, and sink and a wood burner and stuff, and we'd take the kids and go to festivals and things like that. That was pretty good fun. We went to Mon's Skate Jam, which was over by Bicester, I believe, and yeah, we used to just, like, you know, have a good time, really. After about, we'd been together, I suppose, about 6 years, something like that, we had our last baby, Moss, and obviously all of our babies are adults now with babies of their own. Will and I have been together for 38 years now, and we still live in housing co-op, and we still get out to gigs and the occasional festy. And I still truly believe that punk has made me the person I am. I'm an old lady, but I'm still a punk at heart, I think. And I am so pleased I found punk and had so many punk friends. It shaped who I am today. There's so many bands that you could sit and talk about and mention, so many people, just haven't got time to mention everybody, of course, and so many things and experiences which have impacted on my life too.